Good morning.
Good morning.
Hope you all are feeling as well as I am today. Feeling good this morning. Anyway, if we could all stand and sing Blessed Be Thy Name, hymn number 352. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you today to hear your word and open our hearts and just be hopefully better Christians. We thank you for everything you do for us, and thanks to those who have given their time in the military and their lives. And a special thanks to you, of course, for giving the ultimate sacrifice for us. Amen.
Good morning. We welcome you all here this morning. We are glad that you're here on this Memorial Weekend. As Alan said, we certainly recognize and remember and appreciate the gifts and sacrifices of so many who've given of their service for our country and for our freedom. So we remember that today. Are there announcements that need to be made this morning? I encourage you to look through your bulletin and make note of things that will be coming up in the next few weeks. Also, you'll notice the recognition of men, the Father's Day celebration. Information is in your is inserted into your bulletin, so if you want to fill that out and drop it in the offering plate, you can do that over the next couple of weeks. Are there other announcements that need to be shared this morning?
Terry?
Don?
Quaker Men breakfast will be held that Sunday morning at 7:30. I'm cooking, that's bad.
Okay.
But Forrest is cooking and John Carroll's cooking, and
that's good.
So that outweighs the bad.
Okay.
7:30 next Sunday morning, Quaker Men. Everyone is invited.
Two to the good, one to the bad. So, next Sunday morning, 7:30, all men are invited, or anybody, I guess. We won't turn anybody away. So we look forward to sharing together next Sunday morning for breakfast.
For Bible school, we're going to do things a little bit different in Children's Church for a few Sundays in the summer starting today. So I need all Wee Friends age kids, so that's 3 and 4 year olds, and then school age kids, kindergarten through fifth grade, to come upstairs with me here in Children's Church today, and we're going to start learning some Bible school songs and doing some fun activities.
Other announcements that need to be made this morning? If not, if our ushers will come forward, we will receive our morning offerings. Shall we pray together? Loving and gracious God, we thank you for your gifts to us. We thank you for all that we receive each and every day, the ability to get up and go to work or work around our house and do the things that we enjoy doing. We thank you for our freedom and all that it affords us in our lives each and every day. We thank those who've given of their lives, and particularly are mindful of those who've given that ultimate sacrifice for us. Lord, as we receive these offerings today, may they be but a token of our love and generosity for you. And may they be used to spread your kingdom and to spread your word. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
lots of stuff to pull out of my bag today. Oh my goodness. All kinds of things. Some of these things you may have already seen. Well, are y'all ready for summer? Yes, this is the weekend that kicks off summer. Well, you know, last week we were celebrating our graduates from high school and college, but I have a graduation to go to this week that is a preschool graduation, and I think some of you may have been learning some of the things that we've been learning this year, because Connor and I have been working on getting ready for kindergarten. I don't know about y'all, but we've been working on our numbers, we've been working on our colors and our shapes, all those things. But the most important thing we've been working on has been our letters. And do I have anybody else that might be going to kindergarten this fall? No, not yet. So if you can go to, good, that is great. Well, this past year we've been trying to get ready. And first thing that we had to learn was, one of our first things with our letters was we had to learn these letters by sight. That means when you get to see them. And there are 26 of these things to remember, and it gets so frustrating. And if it is not hard enough that you have a big A, you also have a little A. You remember working on all these? Yeah. Big A and little A. That's right, Ava. Well, we had to learn. So 26 and 26, that's 52 of these things that you had to learn. Oh, my goodness, it's just so overwhelming. And so it's exhausting. And then you know what makes it even funnier is, like A, does that little A look like the big A? No, it doesn't. How about the C? We're lucky there. The little one looks like that. And don't even get me started on little Q. I don't know where that came from. So you get so tired and exhausted, and it's so frustrating. You feel like quitting, but you keep on trying, and you never give up. Well, when you finally learn these letters, when you see them, guess what they want next? You have to learn how to write them. Okay, you have to learn how to write every one of them. And sometimes some of us have to learn if we're right or left-handed. So we were learning that too. So you learn how to write them. And so now seeing them is easy, but writing them is hard. So you get frustrated, and that's just what Connor's, oh, I get so upset. And it's like, I just can't do this. I can't do this. I quit. But you keep on trying, and you never give up. And if it's not bad enough, after you learn to write them, you have to learn to write them on lined paper. I guess y'all do that now. And you have to stay in the lines. It just keeps on going. And then after you do your letters, then they want you to learn how to make words with those letters. So then you have to learn all these, they call them sight words. And you learn these words. And so now, the letters and the writing's easy, but the sight words are hard. So you get frustrated and you feel like quitting, but you keep on trying and you never give up. So then with these words, in other words, you make sentences with your words, and then you start reading these. You get books, starter books like this. I'm sure some of y'all started out like that, and you may be learning some of these things. And then the more sentences and the more words that you read, you get to move on to bigger books, like this Bible right here. And the Bible has lots and lots of stories. It's full of stories about people that never gave up. And all this started with these frustrating letters. So if you give up when you were trying to learn your letters, then you wouldn't be able to make words or sentences, and you'd never be able to read or write, and you'd miss out on reading all those wonderful stories and places you get to go when you read books. So when things get frustrated and you feel like quitting, You keep on trying and you never give up. This is the attitude that's good for your whole life. Sometimes you may want to learn to play an instrument. Now just think what would happen if Miss Ginger and Miss Deborah had went to their first few piano lessons and they went, I quit, I am not, this is too hard, I quit. What would, we would be in a mess, wouldn't we? They play beautiful, I am so glad they didn't quit. And then you might want to learn a sport or you might want to learn to dance. Those are all things that we learn. And you'll keep learning new things your whole life, even as old as I am, I like learning new things. So if you're discouraged or frustrated, and you can always ask help from your family. You might have brothers and sisters or cousins or your mom and dad, or you may even go to your teachers or your friends. When you get frustrated, you need help. But when you see someone that's having a hard time learning, not everybody learns the same. Don't make fun of them, because someday you may be one that's having a hard time learning and you may need help too. And always remember that God is there to give you strength and courage and for you to keep on trying when you feel like quitting. Congratulations on everything you've learned this year and things that were hard in the beginning. And this happens for all ages. I'm sure all of you older ones have had subjects this year you go, oh gosh, it was so hard. But it's a lot easier by the end of the year. But you always keep on trying and you never give up. Let's say a prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for these children and everything that they've learned so much and the opportunities they have to learn. Thank you for their parents. Thank you for their friends and their teachers that have spent time with them and helped them. Thank you, Father, that you're always there to give us the strength and courage to keep trying when we feel like giving up. Thank you for all these things. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Rhonda. This time we're entering into a time of prayer. Are there prayer requests that you would like to share this morning? Or expressions of joy or thanksgiving? In case you didn't hear that, Stormy Fields has come down with a case of shingles. So let's be in prayer for Stormy. Are there others? I encourage you to look through the prayer concerns and be in prayer for those individuals as we throughout the week. Other prayer concerns this morning. A recognition. What would you like to recognize?
I can't blame Rhonda Kirkman, but her lesson jarred something loose in my head. There's a member with us today who a number of us in sixth grade math had a similar lesson that first week of that sixth grade year, and it talked about two frogs in a jar of milk, and only one of those frogs got out of the jar. So I'd like to recognize Ellery's River for getting a lot of us started on a math and science career. And making some of us the jumpers. If she'll share the story, she does it better not.
No. You want to share it? Okay. We'll save that for another day. Okay. Well, certainly we want to express our thanksgiving to Eloise and to all the teachers in our congregation who work so hard to teach our children and our young people, so we recognize all of our teachers this morning.
Here, the funny thing is, that is the inspiration for that, but I didn't do the point because one of the problems doesn't make it.
Oh!
I was a little traumatic for 3 and 4 years old, but that is exactly where that came from.
Okay.
Some of us turned into milk and butter and we got close
Another expression of joy and thanksgiving. Allison, is it okay if I share this? Okay. Allison has made the decision in the fall to attend Wake Forest School of Divinity for some graduate work beginning in the fall of this year. And on Friday, she was notified that she had received the Dean Scholarship, which is 3 years of full tuition as well as a stipend. So congratulations to Allison, and a great deal of thanksgiving to the Lord for that that blessing. Are there others? Okay. Let's go to the Lord in prayer together. Loving and gracious God, we are mindful of all the individuals listed on our prayer concerns this morning. We remember those that are listed in our bulletin and who've requested prayer or whose family or friends have requested prayer on their behalf. And Lord, it is a long and extensive list, and we know that you understand each situation, that you know the hearts, you know the needs. So Lord, we just we release these people to your care. We don't always know the situation. We don't always know exactly what's needed, but we know that you do. So we pray for all these individuals and ask that you bless them and keep them and strengthen them for whatever is in front of them. We specifically remember Stormy Fields this morning and pray for Stormy as she is undergoing a bout with shingles. And Lord, I've heard how difficult and debilitating that can be, and so we just pray for her. And Lord, I know this coming on just a few weeks after the passing of her mother and some other difficult situations, so we just pray for her and for her healing and recovery, that you would give her strength and peace in this difficult time. Lord, we recognize your gifts to us. We recognize, as we've mentioned this morning, those who've served for us, who've dedicated their lives to service, to our country. We also remember our teachers who've dedicated themselves to our children and our youth to teach and instruct and help educate people in this community, in our schools. We recognize and thank you for your meeting our needs. And I remember this morning the tremendous gift of the scholarship for Allison, and we are grateful and thankful for that blessing, and just pray for her as she continues with her education and seeks greater direction and clarity for what might be ahead. Lord, we know that you are with each of us, that you that as we rise in the morning, that you are with us, guiding us, strengthening us, leading us, drawing us closer to yourself. So we just thank you for that tremendous gift and blessing. May we ever be mindful that you're with us. May we ever be mindful and be faithful to you in all that we do. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. My scripture reading is this morning is from the Old Testament book of Numbers, chapter 6, verses 22 through 27. Numbers 6, 22 through 27. I believe that can be found on page 215 in your pew Bibles. Verse 22 begins. The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to Aaron and his sons, saying, 'Thus you shall bless the Israelites. You shall say to them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. So they shall put my name on the Israelites, and I will bless them.'" If you were to open many of the books of the New Testament, you might look through one of the epistles from Paul. And you might notice that he begins many of his letters by wishing his readers grace and peace. You can find it also in Peter's letters, in one of John's books, and in the book of Revelation. So when these authors, when these writers, when these apostles say grace and peace, they were not merely using a polite form of introduction or polite words to start a letter. In fact, these were very special words. To wish someone grace and peace is to desire for them something wonderful. It is to pray that they will be as close as possible to the heart of God. So when they said grace and peace, Peter, John, and Paul were also carrying on a tradition that dated back about 1,500 years. A tradition that started during the time of Israel's wilderness wanderings between Exodus and entering into the Promised Land. And God used this time to prepare Israel for life as the people of God, and as the people of God in His land. It is a tradition that goes back to the passage that I read this morning from Numbers. And one of the important things that God did was to establish the role and ministry of the priests. So we see here Moses being instructed to tell Aaron, who was the priest, and his sons, to give this blessing. You see, these priests were to offer sacrifices and lead the people in worship. And an important part of that ministry was to bless the people. So in number 6 that I read, we read of God's instructions for the priests to say these words: "The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord," and this is another way it can be worded, "the Lord turn His face toward you and give you peace." He goes on to say that they will put My name on the Israelites and I will bless them. So pronouncing this blessing affirmed the people of their special relationship with God and of the special place they had in His world. We learn also from Leviticus that priests were to say these words when their hands were held up above their heads. It was a way to signify that these words just weren't being uttered by the priests, but they were coming directly from God. This is the message from God to all of you, to all of us. The priest was the mediator, not the initiator. So when the people gathered for worship, the priests would offer sacrifices to establish them in fellowship with God, and then he would raise his arms and pronounce this blessing. So what does it mean to say, "The Lord bless you"? The Hebrew word literally means "on bended knee." It describes someone kneeling, and like we might kneel and ask a beloved for her hand in marriage. And in this blessing, God is offering to come to His people on bended knee. That is, to come and to love them and to share Himself with them. The second part of that phrase, of that blessing of Aaron, calls upon God to keep His people. May the Lord bless you and keep you. The Hebrew word for keep is used to describe a way that shepherds would use thorn bushes to help create a protective enclosure for the sheep to keep them safe from predators. To keep literally means to build a hedge around. Thus, there's this idea of protection from harm. Putting around you in your life a sort of a fence to keep enemies at bay. Blessings of God has given you to protect you and to keep you even from wandering off. Think about it. Yahweh, the supreme and almighty God who dwells in eternity, the creator and ruler of all things, would get down on a knee to a sinful and rebellious people, that He would take the trouble to build a protective hedge around us to keep us safe. That's what that passage is saying. And that's what He instructed His priests to, and called on them to say on His behalf. I don't think we often think of God like that. I think many Christians don't think of God like this. Yet we should be able to see this is how God has revealed Himself to us. He comes to us, seeking a relationship with us. And that was most completely seen in the action in the incarnation of God, the Son. Jesus in the manger is God on bended knee. Jesus eating with sinners is God coming on bended knee. Jesus living as one of us, and then giving His life on the cross is God on bended knee seeking us, seeking a relationship with us. Jesus ascended to heaven and sent his Spirit as our comforter. Is God at work keeping us secure? Peter wrote, we have an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, kept in heaven for you. So in this blessing, God is showing himself to us. He's showing himself as one who has a heart to bless and to keep his people. If you look through many of the other references to blessing in the Old Testament, you'll find that the sort of things that are most often referred to are having our material needs met so that you will have sufficient amount to live on and to be generous to others. You'll see blessing talking about a happy family life, a good reputation in the community where you live and work, good health and a long life, the defeat and scattering of your enemies, fruitful labor, that your daily work will go well and be rewarded. In short, these are the things that a general prayer of thanksgiving calls all the blessings of life. Life, health, safety, the ability to work, and the leisure to rest. These are things not only to be thankful for, but to pray for on behalf of others. But I think Scripture also teaches us that the greatest blessing is that of a faithful relationship with Christ. That blessing from Aaron goes much deeper than the blessing of this life. It goes on to two ideas that I mentioned in the beginning. It seeks the great spiritual blessing of God's grace and God's peace. God's grace. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. I think the best way that I can explain God's face shining on us is to think about the difference between, and this is probably a very good analogy for today, the difference between rainy days and sunny days. I love summer. I love to go to the beach. And my family will always spend, almost every summer, we'll spend a week at the beach. In fact, our trip this summer is in just 3 weeks. So I'm hopeful that those rainy days will move on out and those sunny days will be waiting for us. But there's something special about sitting on the beach in a chair on a beautiful sunny day with a slight ocean breeze to keep you cool. And you can just sit there and you can just feel the sun warming you. It helps to adjust our attitudes and our focus. At least it does for me. It's not just at the beach, but we have a particular attitude about sunshine, particularly when that sun has come after a few rainy days. Everything seems to be brighter. The grass seems greener. The flowers are wide open with their colors showing off to maximum effect. Everything is warmer, pleasant on the face. Indeed, it tends to cheer us up to see the sun shining again. There's a lot more life and activity. People are out and about. They're involved in a full range of activities that often don't take place on those rainy days. How good is it then when in the midst of the stormy weather of our lives that we encounter from time to time, when our spirits are dampened by the sadness of this world, to have God's face shine upon us. His light helps us see clearly, brightening our understanding of what is going on in the world and how he is in control, working out his purposes. His light, his love, warms us and heals our soul's wounds. When we are weighed down because of our inadequacies and the contributions that we make to the sadness of this world, it's wonderful to know that God is gracious. We don't always deserve it, but he's on our side. If God is for us, who can be against us? And nothing can separate us from God's grace and love in Christ. And what a great thing that it is to pray for someone that they will know the grace of God in their lives. What a great gift for someone to pray for you, that the Lord will make His face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. And the next phrase in that blessing of Aaron is to ask for the reality of God's peace in the lives of His people. May the Lord turn His face towards you and give you peace. Have you ever been looking for someone in a crowd? Maybe you've been asked to pick someone up somewhere. You've been asked to meet someone. And maybe you haven't seen them in a long time. And think of that moment when you finally make eye contact with that person you're looking for. Suddenly, out of all the people in that crowd, at that place, at that time, you make a personal connection with someone that you know and who knows you. If it's someone you've not seen for a long time, you may run up to them and embrace them. Any doubts? Where would they be? How would you know them? All those questions disappear as they turn their face towards you and you make that connection. That's what that blessing of Aaron asked for between us and God. When God turns His face towards you, it's a moment of recognition that you matter to Him and that you're special to Him. The one who turns His face towards you also opens His arms wide to embrace you as you meet. You are at peace in that embrace. You're secure in the knowledge that your relationship with God cannot be shaken. Isn't that a wonderful thought? It's not just a thought. It's our reality as Christians. Jesus said, "His sheep hear His voice. He knows them and they follow Him. He gives them eternal life. And no one can snatch us from His Father's hand." God is for us, and neither life nor death nor calamity nor things or people from our past or anything in the future can ever separate us from Him and from His love for us. Truly, this is the peace that is referred to in that blessing. This is the peace that surpasses all understanding. God gives this prayer to the priests of ancient Israel because He desired to bless His people. He wants to come on bended knee to pick us out from the crowd and embrace us, to build a protective hedge around us that nothing can deprive us from His grace and His peace. That's the heart of God for us. He gives us these blessings. He gives them to all who come to Him through faith and serve Him. To those who serve Him faithfully. At the end of Luke's gospel, we read that one of the last things that Jesus did before returning to heaven was to raise His arms and bless His disciples. I believe that Jesus may have prayed this prayer for them as the great high priest who gave Himself as the ultimate sacrifice for us. Furthermore, I think it is our role to be priests who pass on God's blessings to others. Peter, in chapter 2 of his first letter, says that everyone who believes in Christ is a part of His royal priesthood. He speaks of us declaring God's praises, which includes praying for and working for the spiritual well-being of others. In other words, we are blessed. Be a blessing. We receive God's blessing so that we too might be a blessing to others. That's why Paul started almost every one of his letters with that blessing: grace and peace to you from God our Father and Lord Jesus Christ. He blessed them as he shared God's word with them, as he traveled around risking his life to help them know the gospel, as he prayed for them, and as he sought their spiritual well-being. And we have opportunity to be instruments of God's blessing in this world, to minister grace and peace to our neighbors, to our co-workers, to our classmates, to our families, and to our friends. We do this by how we treat them and by what we say to them and about them. Let me end by sharing an illustration, a story. In his book, Life of the Beloved, Henry Nouwen tells of a time when he was working with a group of disabled people, and one of the handicapped women in that community asked him for a blessing. And he started to do that ritual signing of the cross, but she stopped him and she said, "No, that doesn't work. I want a real blessing." So he realized something special was needed, and he promised to do something when the community was gathered together again later. And he tells that later there were about 30 people present for a time of worship. And he said that Janice had asked for a special blessing, and I will just read his words. He said, "As I was saying this, I didn't know what Janice really wanted, but Janice didn't leave me in doubt very long. As soon as I started speaking, Janice stood up and walked toward me. I was wearing a long white robe with ample sleeves covering my hands as well as my arms. Simultaneously, Janice put her arms around me and put her head against my chest. Without thinking, I covered her with my sleeves so that she almost vanished in the folds of my robe. As we held each other, I said, 'Janet, I want you to know that you are God's beloved daughter. Your beautiful smile, your kindness to the people in your house, and all the good things you do show us what a beautiful human being you are. I know you feel a little low these days and there is some sadness in your heart, but I want you to know that God's grace and peace surround you.'" Henry Nouwen goes on to talk about how Janet looked up and smiled, and that Janet's face assured him that he had hit the mark. And before long, many other handicapped individuals in that community came forward for a blessing. But he goes on to say the most touching moment, however, came when one of the assistants, one of the workers, a 24-year-old student, raised his hand and said, "What about me?" "Sure," I said, "come." And he came and we stood before each other. I put my arms around him and I said, "John, it is so good that you are here. You are God's beloved son. Your presence is a joy for all of us. When things are hard and life is burdensome, always remember that you are loved with an everlasting love." As I spoke these words, writes Henry Nouwen, he looked at me with tears in his eyes and he just said, "Thank you." Friends, blessing and being blessed are an important part of being a Christian. They're an important part of a life of faith. Because blessing is the work of God. I pray that as we leave this place, that we are mindful each and every day of God's blessing to us, and that we seek to be a blessing for others.
Thank you, Terry. Could all stand and sing Be Still My Soul for our benediction.
Peace. Amen.
Well, thank you. I appreciate you.